This time next weekend, there'll be about 50 of us at the Cedar Kirk All Church Retreat, so keep us in your prayers as we'll be there. And I hope you have good and effective worship here next week as well. We begin today a sermon series, and I'll explain that in the course of the message about being called by God to live upside down. I'll explain that in the course of the message. This is the first in this series, The Humble Are Exalted is the title. I'm reading from two passages in the Old Testament. The first, just part of a story in Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. The first nine verses in chapter 5, and then I'll be reading in the Gospel of Luke, the well-known story about the Pharisee and the tax collector that went up to the temple to pray. So first, listen to Daniel chapter 5, the first nine verses. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and he was drinking wine in the presence of 1,000. Under the influence of the wine, Belshazzar commanded that they bring in the vessels of gold and silver that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the vessels of gold that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. And then verse 5, immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the wall of the royal palace next to the lampstand. The king was watching the hand as it wrote. Then the king's face turned pale and his thoughts terrified him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king cried aloud to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. And the king said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever can read this writing and tell me its interpretation shall be clothed in purple, have a chain of gold around his neck, and rank third in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar became greatly terrified, and his face turned pale, and his lords were perplexed. And then the second reading is in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we live in this busy world, help us to center ourselves in these next moments, to truly seek to listen to you, and to truly see what you have to say to us. Open our eyes and open our ears, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. Well, when you read the Gospels, what you find when you read about Jesus' ministry and things that he taught, that he had predictions about this life. He had predictions about the next life. And many of his predictions, the things he taught, they overturned many of our common beliefs and attitudes of people then and people today. For example, he said those who were first oftentimes would end up last. He said that there were some wise people who were actually foolish. You don't know any of those, do you? And he also said there are some foolish people who are really the wise ones. It was almost as if he was saying that the losers in this life will be the winners and the winners will be the losers. He said so often these contradictions. He said there are people with eyes who really couldn't see, and there are people who were blind who were really visionaries. He looked at some people and said even though they were alive, they were spiritually dead. And others who were dead, he said they're actually alive. Now these observations, and you can read these for yourself in the New Testament, they really are literally upside down from our common understanding in our contemporary world. They are surprising to many people. They seem backwards. They're not the way we normally think. And I want to use them as we begin this stewardship season for this next month. As we seek to dedicate our pledges and our gifts to God for 2023 and the coming year, I want to begin preaching today this series of sermons on these upside-down messages of Jesus. You know, when you look at them closely, what they really are paradoxes. And I looked that up, that word, paradox. Webster's dictionary says that a paradox is a statement that is opposed to popular opinion. In other words, it is a statement that contradicts common sense, even though it is true. And we begin then today looking at one of Jesus, really one of his most often repeated sayings in terms of these paradoxical kinds of teaching. The proud will be humbled, he said, and the humble will be exalted. Now, all the self-help books that you can read at Barnes & Noble bookstore, which, by the way, are usually by the religious section, I find that interesting, but if you read them all, usually they say something like, if you focus on yourself and do these things, you will get ahead. And many of them say you'll become a winner, a leader in your life. But here's the question. Why have we come to feel oftentimes that it's the proud, it's the self-sufficient, the extroverted people with the largest Twitter accounts that are the ones who receive all the praise and honor? Why do we think that? It really isn't so. They're not the only winners. Jesus, you see, turns that understanding on its head. And he says repeatedly, the proud will fall, and it is the humble who will finally become exalted. This upside-down way to live. The arrogant and the mighty, they very often do fall. For example, if you look at King Solomon's life in the Old Testament, some people believe that he wrote a big part, or at least some of, the book of Proverbs. And King Solomon would have done well to have heeded his own advice, because in the book of Proverbs, it reads this way. His advice was, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in Solomon's life, later in his life, he abandoned God, he embraced his wealth and his many concubines, and his kingdom was left in ruins and divided. You've heard it before, pride comes before a fall. Or take our example this morning, the reading from the book of Daniel. It contains this rather odd, dramatic story, this mystical kind of story of a hand writing on a wall, the story of this Babylonian king named Belshazzar, whose father was Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Belshazzar, I'll say it right in a moment, he was a monarch just like Solomon who exalted himself before God. A mysterious hand wrote on that banquet wall words that no one could translate. And King Belshazzar, his knees, we are told, knocked together and he grew pale. He sent for all of his own diviners, and they could not interpret what was on the wall. And then the queen suggested, go find Daniel, because he surely can interpret the writing on the wall. And Daniel told the king what it meant. And to summarize what it meant, Daniel told him, it said, King, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and has brought it to an end. And it was that very day that Belshazzar died. And we still say it today, don't we? The handwriting is on the wall. We say that when we know that destruction is near and someone will fall. Remember Humpty Dumpty? Of course you do. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men. You're very good at that. You know that nursery rhyme. Some historians believe that rhyme refers to another monarch, a tyrannical king, Richard III, who oppressed his people so much that his kingdom became divided and it couldn't be put back together again. His palace was broken. Well, Jesus' prediction is often found to be true in our contemporary world. The bigger they are, often the harder they fall. And it's so true. If we took time this morning, and we're not going to try to name people in any field of endeavor, sports, politics, religion, and business, I bet we could bring out a bunch of names of people who have had great falls. And we know them. I could go back 20, 30 years and name people. I suggest you try to do that on the way home. Try to name people that you know in these areas that have had a great fall. And it's true, the bigger they are, often the harder they fall and the more public that it is. It's almost as if Jesus' prediction, it almost seems like a law of life, that whoever exalts himself or herself will be humbled at some point. I remember my mother saying that to me when I was a young person and I would achieve some accomplishment, and she would finally say, son, don't get too big for your britches. Pride goes before destruction, she would say. Well, note with me that Jesus was particularly hard about religious pride. He was scathing about it. His parable that we read this morning, it's about two men praying, and it has jolting consequences. No two people could have been more opposite than this Pharisee and tax collector. And the message of that story is that if you are proud and puffed up about what you do for God, you will be humbled. And if you are humbled and beat your chest before God and claim your unworthiness, you will be exalted. You'll be lifted up. So the question for us this morning is that how then can we be humble and thus honored? How does that work? Well, first, to be truly humble, it requires honesty. If someone gives you a praise about something, then honestly accept that and don't joke about it. I'm not that good about this or that. Just be honest and accept it. Humility isn't about disparaging yourself. You can accept a praise. You can accept a compliment. It's accepting it and being honest and just saying thank you. The honest truth is you really can't try to be humble. You can't work at it. You can't strive at it. You remember the man, the story goes, who received at his work a trophy for being humble? You've heard that story. The moment he accepted it, he was disqualified. Humility. Humility, like peace, like happiness, they can only be achieved really by indirection. By indirection. You get yourself out of the center of your life by serving others. And it's important to remember, especially at stewardship time, that we're to commit ourselves, our resources, our time, and our talents to help other people, not just ourselves, but to get out of the way and let our resources speak for themselves. And when you do that, oftentimes peace and joy and humility, they will come in the back door without your knowing it. Well, secondly, to be truly humble and be exalted requires humor. Never trust a person who can't laugh at themselves. I learned that last night the hard way. We have three cats, and I tend to walk through the house at night in the dark. I don't want to wake Joyce up if I stay up late. And I went to go outside on the patio, and I stepped on the cat, but I lifted up my leg carefully and twisted a knee. And it took me forever to get ready this morning. And as I think about it now, all I can do is laugh at myself. So many things like that happen so innocently in our own homes. It's such a dangerous place to be. I think it was Mark Twain who said that if you could sit on a fence and watch yourself, you would die laughing. And I think that's true. The humble, you see, and I'm not that humble, but the humble can laugh at themselves. A story is told about four people: a Boy Scout, a pastor, a computer scientist, and a surgeon. And they were the only passengers on a commercial flight from New York to Los Angeles. And after the plane reached cruising altitude, the pilot came out and said to those four passengers, "We have a problem. We're ascending slowly. Both engines have failed. We only have enough parachutes for the flight crew and three passengers. I'm so sorry. One of the passengers will have to go down with the plane." A moment later, the flight crew donned their parachutes and they jumped out of that crippled plane. The four passengers just stared at each other, knowing they were just three parachutes. All of a sudden, the doctor quickly put on a parachute and said, "I am the only man alive who knows how to perform a life-saving brain operation." And he jumped out of the plane. The scientist quickly put on a parachute and he said, "I am the most brilliant scientist in the world. For the sake of humanity, I must live." And he jumped. The pastor looked at the Boy Scout and he said, "Son, you have your whole life ahead of you. Here, you take the last parachute." And the Boy Scout tossed the parachute back to the pastor and he said, "Reverend, put on that parachute. The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack." You may have heard that story, but it's a funny story. And so we have said, to be humble, it takes honesty. It also takes humor. And I would say to you, it also takes a sense of holiness. And by holiness, I mean the ability to stand and come before God, who is greater than all things. By holiness, I mean to realize that you and I are not the center of the universe. We are not God. We are one of God's many servants. And by holiness, I also mean confessing before Him your desire to be better than you are. That's so important. It was the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr who said that before God, we are all the same, in need of grace. And that includes Pharisees and tax collectors, right? And this means that you don't ever have to diminish yourself to be humble. But you can stand tall and find something that is greater than yourself and aspire to it, honor it. Doing that will put yourself in perspective. And that's what we do every Sunday in worship. Not to make ourselves smaller, but to see the greatness of God, whose grace and beauty and great love lifts us up and calls us to be more than we are. And so, as you know, many of the great ones were oh so humble. It was Mother Teresa who said of herself, when people praised her work, she said, "I am simply a pencil in the hand of God." I like that. But the greatest model of all is our model, Jesus Christ, whom we've gathered to worship this day. Remember how the apostle put it? I'm going to say these words, and I want you to put on new ears as you hear them. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death on the cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that says it all, doesn't it? The humble will be exalted. And Jesus didn't just say it. He lived it. How about you? Let's pray as we close with the closing song. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for your words, these words that teach us the great truth that we are called by you, O God, to live life upside down. For those who are humble before you will be truly exalted. Help us to understand that and to seek to live it out in our lives indirectly. For it's in Christ's name we pray this. Amen.